The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome back to Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. I have with me Daniel O'Leary, who is my guest today. I love the name O'Leary. I feel like I should break off in some brogue if I could do it justice, but...
They tell me not to, but yeah, right. I'll slip into it every now and again. I just can't help it.
You just can't help it. That's
the
good.
The people at the center just love it, let me tell you.
Yeah, that's great. Daniel is here representing Teen Challenge, and in particular, that's a national organization.
Worldwide.
But he is, yeah, worldwide it is. It's not just national, it's international. But he's here today from the Sanford chapter of this group, which is... I don't know if it's called the Central Florida chapter or what, but...
Central Florida Men's Rehab, the Men's Center. Here in Sanford, Florida, we operate an exclusive for men, for adult men, a rehab center.
Well, I met Daniel on the phone a couple of weeks ago when he called about an event that was coming up. Actually, that event had to do with the Central Florida Christian Chamber, of which we are a part. The Shepherd is a part of that, and I love the meetings and... I don't always get to go to them, but when I go, it is so much fun. And I'm just glad that we met through your efforts, really your reaching out as a result of the fact that you were a host of one of their functions out there. So I'm really looking forward to hearing this story, and I'd love for you to jump in, Daniel. Now, just to be clear, you're not working for Teen Challenge as a staff member. You're here today representing Teen Challenge as one of the students in the program.
That is correct. Or I'm a student in the program. So Teen Challenge here in Sanford, Florida, again, being a men's center, I had to check myself in for addiction problems. So I've been here for about 4 months. And what the ministry tries to do with the students that we have is we all have to get up every morning, of course, and we go to work. So my background from being in sales and community relations and stuff like that basically put me on the phone to reach out to gentlemen like you and to the Christian Chamber of Commerce and to like-minded businesses and churches all around this area to partner with us in every different way so that we can continue really the life-saving work that we do because many of the men that arrive at our center, this is the last chance they have.
Mm-hmm.
They're really that far down the road. So that's how I kind of got into this particular position and calling you on the phone. And I really, we appreciate you having us on.
Well, I'm happy to do it because I'm a big believer in the program. Tell us a little bit about the history. I know many of our listeners would know that it's associated with Dave Wilkerson in New York. And he did a lot of great work out there with the gangs.
Yeah. So David Wilkerson actually was just, he got this a job as an old, a country preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was sitting there watching television one night and he was sitting there. I wonder if I spent 2 hours in prayer every single night instead of watching 2 hours of television, I wonder what that would think. So he put his television up for sale and he asked for a sign and the television sold. Then as he was sitting there praying, he picked up a Time magazine and he saw this story about these kids that were involved in a horrific crime where they murdered this other child that had cerebral palsy. And this was this gang in New York. Mm-hmm. But the Lord spoke to him and said, go help those boys and tell them that I still love them. So he did. He went to this new congregation that he had, this small country congregation. They gathered up pennies and nickels and all that kind of stuff. They sent him over to New York to try to minister to this group of teens that was on trial for murder.
And in New York, we're talking about New York City.
In New York City, mm-hmm. Yeah. So he drives from Pennsylvania in his car to New York City. Doesn't know anybody there, doesn't know anything about it. Sleeps in his car. It's really an incredible story. It's in the book The Cross and the Switchblade, mm-hmm. which was also made into a movie.
Right.
So through these efforts, you know, he never really even gets to meet this gang of kids that the Lord told him to go help. But, you know, of course, as God often does, you know, his message to us is we don't quite understand it. So, but what he did do is he started ministering to the street kids and to the street gangs of New York. And then one of the people that he met was Nikki Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki Cruz is kind of one of the main authors of where Teen Channels really came from. So this country preacher goes all the way from, you know, in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, drives his car, sleeps in his car, and meets these people, these street kids, these drug addicts, realizes that they need a place to go, so he starts ministering to them there. And that is really the genesis of Teen Challenge.
Yeah, I read the books, and of course, Pat Boone played the role in the movie, and that was a long time ago. I guess that would have been the late 70s, 80s.
It's been the late 70s.
Late 70s, mid 70s, possibly. It would be the mid 70s anyway when I saw the movie Run, Baby, Run. I mean, that was one of the books. I read the book first. It might even be earlier than that. My goodness, that's going way back. But I guess the whole story of what he did, of what David Wilkerson did, and you said it so well, in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. And thinking about even in today's world, but in the 70s, the gangs were New York City was not a fun place to visit, not a safe place to visit at all in the 70s. So when you think about the danger of being in New York City, I mean, people would say they'd go there to visit, go there to go to Broadway, to see a show on Broadway and get mugged. I mean, that was an everyday event in New York City back then until they got cleaned up by Rudy Giuliani and some things that happened much later on. But here's this guy, a pastor from a country church. Talk about he had to have the anointing of God on his life. He had to have the presence of the Holy Spirit with him to venture into the middle of the gangs of New York City.
And he'd never been there before. Because he listened to God. He said that, he went to his congregation, and I think they took up, you know, a couple of different collections for him to go back and forth, just enough gas money for him to get there. But he slept in his car. It's an incredible story.
Yeah.
Of somebody just, what business, and people, he was even thinking to himself, like, what business do I have of doing this? People are going to think I'm crazy, but he just kept listening to that particular call that he got from God. Was that he had to go help those kids. Well, what he didn't really know is that he's been helping, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of kids, men and women, through those efforts all these years later. But, you know, when you read the story, I mean, in today's world, I mean, that's borderline. I mean, like, you know, I mean, people don't do that stuff. I mean, that's crazy that he dropped everything, sold a television and went to New York City, didn't know a soul, slept in his car. I think he gave away his shoes at one point. It's really an incredible story.
It's an amazing thing. And this thing has taken off and it is all over, like you said, the world now. And it's grown. It's through these different decades. This ministry has grown with the times. Back in that day, the drugs that they had back day are different than the way a lot of addictions are happening in today's world.
Correct.
But a lot of it is still the same. There are still gangs happening today, just like there were back then. And one thing that hasn't changed at all, and that is the human nature and one's tendency, if they're going to get addicted to something, the impact that addiction brings in their life is very similar in this day and age as it would have been in the 70s.
Well, like we at Teen Challenge, it's any life-controlling issue, not just an addiction to drugs or alcohol, which is where most of us are, but it's any life-controlling, addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what we kind of focus on. And then the tagline is, you know, putting hope within reach. So it's 100% faith-based. There's no drugs or anything like that involved in the program. But the Teen Challenge mantra, if you will, is to really look at everything through that scope. Through it, it's like, you know, what is the problem? But Jesus is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what it is. It's not really what your problem is that Christ is the answer, no matter what your problem may be.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you what, when you think about the impact that they've had and now the people, so many people, and I'm sure there are a lot of them around the world that graduated from the program and they went on to actually be a proponent for the program, either by working or, you know, staying close to the program, having that kind of enduring legacy really makes the program strong as it goes on.
Yeah, so we do. Our graduates, a lot of our graduates stay on as interns, and many of them actually, after their internship, get hired on as staff. And then many of the people, like yourself, like when I called you, you've had an experience with Teen Challenge in the past from somebody that you knew.
Yes.
So that is how it's literally grown little by little and step by step, is that this program does work. You know, it has a higher success rate than any other program that we know of. So over time, like our students become interns, our interns become staff members, our staff members go around and they become executive directors and program directors and stuff like that within the Teen Challenge network itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the successes compound each other.
Do you know the history of the Sanford chapter?
As far as the Sanford chapter, I don't know specifically this, you know, the history of this. I know that we've recently remodeled. I mean, it's, the whole place is about 3 years old. Before that, this, our executive director has been there, Jeremy. I think he's been there for about 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's been here about 20 years, but, before Jeremy hears, and so I don't have a lot of the history.
Mm-hmm. Well, this program, that is going on, it does reach out through a number of means. I mean, I know that obviously books and print has gone out. How do people hear about it, generally speaking?
So, we have events and we are involved in the community. The first and foremost thing that we try to do is that we try to be involved in places where, you know, men are at their wit's end, jails, hospitals, institutions, things of that nature, places where addiction is really taking its toll. So the first thing that we're trying to do is we're trying to go out there and get to the addict or the alcoholic. That's who we're first in. We take anybody in that's, you know, not a, you know, a danger or anything like that. So that's our first mission. So we work with institutions, we work with the sheriff's department, we work with churches. Any church will allow us to come talk. Many of our students have heard us actually at a rally. We call it we have a rally team that goes out, sings, does dramas and things of that nature, and they'll hear the testimonies. And then, you know, we have several students that are at Teen Challenge now because they heard it at a church.
Now, I know this program was predominantly associated with the Assemblies of God as a national church movement. I would have been an outreach. I don't know if that would mean that it actually was sanctioned by, or I know it was affiliated to some degree with the Assemblies.
The Teen Challenge itself is non-denominational, but it is affiliated with the Assemblies of God.
Mm-hmm. So that helps a lot to have kind of a big group of churches, as they are, to kind of be backing and I guess publicizing would be the right word, but what is the process for someone to actually hear from it, hear about it, and then actually get involved?
So it just depends on what avenue we're talking about, like as far as what a student or somebody wanted to get involved on like a volunteer or donor side, or
take a student first.
Okay, so a student like myself, you know, I'm not a teen. So the first time I heard of Teen Challenge, I was like, well, I can't go there. I'm 43 years old. The first thing you do is I would literally just call the center. I had a friend that is a fan of the program, and her nephew had gone through it. And I knew this person, and she knew that I had been having issues for years. So I called the center, and then I started talking to the intake coordinator. So whatever the modality or whatever the means that you get a hold of the center, then the center takes over. They start to make phone calls to you. They start to interview you and to see if you're a good fit to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Once that happens, it's relatively simple. You come in, you fill out an application, go through somewhat of an interview process. And they make a decision, yes or no, and then you're in. There's not a whole lot to it. As long as you are not a danger or anything like that, you know, and you want, the biggest thing is wanting to have a life transformation. You have to want that. You have to be open to that. Doesn't matter what your denomination, it doesn't matter if you believe in God or anything like that. It's just that you can come in here and you want something to change, and that, you know, you want basically, you know, your life to be different than it was.
But they do present the gospel.
Absolutely.
In a number of ways. So tell us about that.
So the program itself is 100% faith-based, and it is based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's, you know, everything is biblically based. Now, how we do that is, of course, like the men wake up every single morning, and I can go through the schedule of that, but we get chores and, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, and everybody, we all work at least 5 days a week.
And when you say work at the school or for the school?
Depends on, yeah. So we have several different micro enterprises, which I'll unpack here in just a second.
Okay.
But as far as, you know, the gospel, we have classes every morning for Christians that are, for new Christians or for people who just came in. We go through a course load of 14 courses that are all biblically based, you know, based on the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, Holy Spirit, overcoming addictions, all the stuff that's all mm-hmm. based out of the Bible. And then you'll go into another phase, second phase after that. Of course, we attend church on Sundays and Wednesday nights. And we usually have a speaker, a guest speaker, or some sort of testimony or a guest sermonist that comes in 3 or 4 times a week.
Now, when you say you attend church services, mm-hmm. would that be on campus or do you go out to other
sometimes
churches?
Sometimes it'll be on campus, but a lot of times we'll go around the community and mm-hmm. go to different churches. Yeah.
Now, how many teens would actually be in this program that you're a part of?
We don't have any teens at this point. We have a 20-year-old. That's the youngest.
That's the youngest guy you've got.
We have, okay. a 20-year-old and we have a 67-year-old.
Now, you mentioned something that intrigued me because when I put those realities together, to say that you determine that they're not a danger, and yet we know that some of the people, when you're talking about drugs and you're talking about addictions, there are inherent risks with that can happen. And yet I know that this is a very strict program. I've always respected the fact that they have really low numbers of incidents from their students. But I just would be intrigued to know, how is that possible?
So it really has everything to do with the intake coordinator, Jeremy, the executive director. They meet and they talk about it. And the best thing I can think about it is that they pray on it. So when they take gentlemen in, it's not necessarily like what is on his rap sheet or anything like that. It's what mm-hmm. the feeling that they get from it. I think it's inspired, you know, by God, because like I was actually talking to our integrity director and he wanted to tell me no when I applied. So it was just a funny thing. It just depends on the person. We do not have any incidents of violence whatsoever in our center.
That's wonderful.
It's very disciplined. It's very disciplined. And I am and still always will be a U.S. Marine. So back when I was in the Marine Corps, you know, that discipline was needed and absolutely wanted. So I fit to this scheduling quite easily. For a lot of people and for a lot of gentlemen with life controlling issues and life of men that came from violent past and things of nature, they're not quite used to that. But the only thing I can ever really ascribe it to is the Holy Spirit, because mm-hmm. we do not. And also no threats or violence are tolerated. None of that is even, there's no horseplay allowed. There's nothing like that. So. It is very serious. It's very disciplined, but it has to be a God thing, because we don't have problems like that.
You know, there have been a number of ministries that I've come in contact with, that I've talked with, that as a pastor I've worked with, and we go and sometimes speak at some of them when I was a pastor. And of all of them, really, Teen Challenge has one of the most, I believe, enduring reputations, one of the most stellar records of success and seeing your students grow. And I know that you're not without your challenges, just like everybody in every other program, but it is a very highly regarded, very successful program in the U.S. And abroad as well.
Yeah, there's 1,400 centers around the world now. So,
wow,
it's incredible.
I'm talking to Daniel O'Leary, and he is with Teen Challenge, and he is a student at Teen Challenge. When we come back, we're going to hear his story and what it was that actually brought him on the path to Sanford to this program. We're going to hear all of that from Daniel. Don't you dare go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. You are in tune to The Shepherd. I have as my guest today Daniel O'Leary. Daniel is a student at the Sanford chapter of Teen Challenge, and it's their program for young men and adults as well. And it was interesting. Teen Challenge has been around forever and ever, as we heard in segment one. And yet at your program, the youngest that you have there is 20, and you said you're over 40, although I would never have believed it looking at you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, I've got to say that I've invited Daniel to be on the program today. Obviously, number one, he reached out to us. But when he did, and I was sharing this with Daniel, I was so drawn to him and his conversation. I did not know at the time that he, in his background, is a salesman. He's done sales. You're very good at sales. I can see
thank
because you were very good on the phone. but there was a sincerity. And I think this must be one of those hidden components to what makes a good salesperson. A good salesperson is that you had that ability, even over the phone, Daniel, to reach out, and there was something true and sincere about you. And that was really cool.
Well, the key to being a good salesperson in my mind is to believe in what you're talking about.
Mm.
So when I truly believe, which I do, in Teen Challenge, I can sell it to anybody, because it's not really selling. I'm not selling multi-million dollar somethings I'm not selling a product.
Mm-hmm.
I'm selling hope. I'm selling, like, when I'm talking to you on the phone or when I'm talking to anybody on the street, I can tell them where I came from just a few months ago, and I can tell you where I'm sitting at right now. It's nothing short of a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
It really isn't. So when I'm on the phone and I'd be like, listen, I need some time, yeah, or can you give me we need some donations, or we need this, that, or the other, or can you please use our car wash, or can you please do this? I'm not saying it because I want to profit or anything. And I'm telling it to you because I truly mean it, because it does save people's lives.
And your life is one of those lives.
It's a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing boastful about it. I'm sitting here only because of the grace of God.
So when I look at you, you seem to be a put together young man. And I say young man because when you're my age, everybody's young man. Everybody's younger. So that works out fine. But when I look at you, I would never have dreamed, and I'm sure you hear this from everyone that talks with you, you would not strike me as one, A, that looks like an addict, B, looks like a person that would have an issue with addiction.
Mm.
You just don't fit that profile. So what would be your story?
Well, that's the funny thing, is because, you know, when you go down the road and you see, you know, the guy on the side of the road, or you see, that's what people think of when they think of an addict or an alcoholic.
Somebody strung out
on, mm-hmm, the road. But see,
yeah,
what you don't understand is that it's one in 10 Americans that have a daily drug or alcohol problem.
Mm-hmm.
They're everywhere. My story, if you want to unpack the whole thing, it always usually, you know, addiction is its own insidious disease that becomes its own insidious disease coming off of other mental disorders from other trauma. So we can go back to my childhood when I was left by my mom. You can go back to my stepmother who used to beat me.
Mm.
You can go through, different when my dad was, he had to save me from being kidnapped. You know, he had all these things. And then, when I was in the Marine Corps, I have post-traumatic stress disorder from the Marine Corps. Then when I got out of that, when I came home, one relationship after another, then my drinking and my drug use, it exploded. And it was just tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, never, and always running in and running out of the church, running into the church, and, you know, and knowing that God forgave me, but also having this incredible guilt because I knew God and I knew who He was and I knew how much He loved me, but I couldn't let go of the pain for me. So I always held on to it. It was a 25 year struggle with drugs and alcohol, from one failed marriage to that just absolutely almost committed suicide. And then I have a son. He's 15 years old. He's such a great kid. He saves me. But then I entered into a second marriage. And then just recently. So basically all that was the past. Just recently, I got cleaned up. I got cleaned up.
I want to jump back for just a moment. Where in here did you meet the Lord?
I grew up in church.
Okay.
I grew up with my father instilled a very, very deep sense of faith in me. From when I was a boy, I could just remember, you know, having a very close relationship with God. And I always just knew that.
So even all through the years of addiction, had that reality of the Lord in the background.
It was such a horrible way to a duality of man. You have two minds, unstable in all his ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally, mm-hmm, the most, because I knew, and then the guilt from that would drive me further away.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty incredible. The only thing I can explain it to is, I was talking to another brother yesterday. It's having one side of you looking through the two-way glass of a cell room, watching the evil part of you just run his thing. You're just banging on the, mm-hmm, inside of that glass, trying to tell him to stop doing what he's doing, because you know it's wrong. and you know God, know God loves you, and you know, but you just fall into it.
Now that would be your story, but there's a lot of people today in addictions, and there were even years ago that really wouldn't have that compelling, I guess, conscience happening in the background.
Sure.
But you're right. When you say that, when you have that and you know you're doing something wrong, that adds just another layer of problems, because you do have this sense in your mind, this voice that's echoing over and over in your ears. Hey, what are you doing? You're doing something stupid. Stop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're like reading the Bible and knowing God, and like Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son, is like something I just is always over and over and over. And every time that I would come and I would get sober, I would up for Luke chapter 15. You know, it's just over and over and over again in my head. It's like, you can come home. It's okay. It's okay. You can come home. I mean, and then, but I, again, you take it back. You take addicts and alcoholics there. You get this false sense of it's nothing short than, you know, than the enemy. Mm-hmm. That lulls you into this sense that you have it together now, that you can handle just one, that you're not like the rest of everybody else. And it's incredible.
And you're in a better condition than you were before.
You're smarter mm-hmm. than other drunks. You're smarter than the other addicts. You know better than they do. And you know, you're not on the street, and you have a brand new truck, and you have a great job, and this, that, and the other. And you're just as, you're if not more lost than anybody. So yeah, that is crazy. It's people don't understand addicts or alcoholics, because it's insane. It's mm-hmm. nothing short of insanity, especially ones that come to our program, and like they might know God, then they know the Lord, or they might not. I mean, it's if they don't know him, it's almost better. I mean, quite honestly, because at least we don't have the guilt of having to deal with that.
Well, I tell you, that you mentioned PTSD from being in the Marines. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about what happened there?
I was involved in a very tragic accident where I killed another man. Mm-hmm. I accidentally killed him. And, you know, it haunts me, and it haunted me forever, for 25 years.
For a person that was also a fellow Marine?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That had to be a weight.
It was an accidental discharge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on my weapon. And it's not something that, you know, to be honest with you, I wouldn't talk about it ever. The fact that I'm talking about it on the radio right now is absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have any embarrassment anymore. God has set me free from that.
That is wonderful.
It's unbelievable, because I mean, it was such shame. And then to realize, the flashbacks from that event are horrid. But,
Alone would be enough right there were the only thing. But in your case, there were other issues as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it is, and it's a lot, but God gave me the life he gave to me for some odd reason. And that, for me, I think it's so that I could, you know, live through it and you know, glorify his name through through doing something like I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been a heck of a ride.
Yeah, you've had a ride, and I'm grateful that you are where you are right now, because, you know, this is, life is that way for a lot of people in a lot of different ways. Not everybody goes through all of the things that you've gone through, but for everyone, it is a ride. It's an unexpected ride. And what you've found and some of the choices, you know, God is going to use you, man, and he is using you in spite of those things. I think that's the most amazing thing about it.
Yeah. And people have to understand is that, you know, there is no embarrassment. There is no shame. When you bring it before God and you truly believe it to him, then you don't, that's what Christ died on the cross for, mm-hmm. Is he took all of our sin and he took all of our shame. You know, it's unreal that the Alpha, the Omega, the creator of creation would come down and do that for us and do that and let you be the prodigal son and welcome you back, put a ring on your finger and slaughter the fat and calf, mm-hmm. and do that for you. That's just unbelievable. And he did, you know, so yeah, I've had a rough time of it, but I also had a great life. So, but it's not over with.
Now,
just began, man.
It is. And for you, you've got a new beginning that is yet to commence when you're out of this program. And that's going to be another new beginning for you that I'm very excited about. Now, I interrupted you a little earlier. So you had come to a position where you had come out of the addiction. And you, I'm assuming you were serving the Lord at that point?
No, truthfully, I was married to my second wife, and she had gotten over it. And I went to a, a secular rehab. I did 54 days in a secular rehab, and I got out of that, and I had started a Bible study when I was at that rehab, and I was going to get back into God and stuff. And all I was this, I was on fire. I was doing great. I got out and I got this incredible job. I got this incredible job, a salesman's dream, where I went around the country and I sold $2.4 million luxury motorhomes. And it was just, I flew all over the place. I was like, I was a public figure. I was on television and commercials. It was like I was like a mini rock star.
Mm-hmm.
And about 6 months into that, my dad, who was the only thing that had always been in my life, he was my hero. Mm-hmm. My father was a Marine Corps too, and he's a retired deputy sheriff. My father died, and when he died, I cracked.
Okay.
And then I just went back. I went back out little by little and step by step, and one time here and then one time there, and it wasn't that bad. Then I was going out on the road. For my job, I was drinking again, and I was, you know, and then my wife started to figure it out, and then COVID hit, and then I lost my job.
Hmm.
So then I'm sitting at the house. My dad is gone. I never went back to church. I got all involved in the things of the world, and I was making money, and I was traveling around, and I thought it was a big shot and all this. And I was empty. And then, so COVID hit, I lost my job. My wife filed for divorce. 3 months later, I'm in an apartment and not the nicest part of Castleberry. And I was drunk, high, and suicidal. And I was thinking about going and walking in front of the sun rail. And thank God I actually got stopped, and I went to jail for another DUI. And in that jail cell, God reached down and he said, you know, he just told me, you know what to do, and everything is going to be all right.
Mm.
I mean, I'm as sure as I'm sitting here, it's like it was 10 days in a jail cell and a 7 mile walk with God, because I had to walk from the Seminole County Jail back to my apartment because nobody would pick me up because everybody was done with me.
Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry.
No, now I look back on it and I
think that was a good thing.
It was an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
When I got back to my apartment, I only had flip flops on my feet. My feet were covered in blisters. They were just huge blisters. Couldn't even get in my apartment. My first ex-wife had to come and get me back in my apartment because I didn't have a key because it was back in my truck. It was incredibly awful.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, even at that very moment, I knew it was going to be okay because God had talked to me. Like in that jail cell, he said, it's going to be all right, but you know what to do. And while I was on, because I had heard of this program, he said, you're going to Teen Challenge.
In that moment. Wow.
Like when we go there and we have guys that, you know, Teen Challenge is not easy. Teen Challenge is not an easy place to be, especially for guys that are used to kind of running the show, you know, and you've got a collective group of guys of all different socioeconomic backgrounds and all different wherever they're from. But, you know, people, they don't make something. They come in here. They might leave. They might not. They might. For me, I had very clear instructions, and they couldn't pry me out of there with a crowbar if they tried to, because God told me that's where you're going and that's where you're going to graduate that year. And then I'll tell you what I'm going to do then.
Mm. It makes a difference when you have a compelling word from the Lord in your heart like that.
It's the truth. It's really the absolute truth.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that, I don't know how else. I mean, like, God doesn't speak to me in paragraphs. He speaks to me in like two or three sentences, you know, and he just says, you're going to Teen Challenge. Mm-hmm. You know what to do. It's going to be okay.
From the moment you made that contact, how long was it until you actually went in?
About 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. About 2 weeks. I called and then I had to get my arrangements, you know, or my affairs in order, try to sell some of my stuff. And, you know, I got my mother to come and take some of my stuff into storage. And I didn't really have anything left over. I mean, I've got, you know, a bed, and I even gave my TV away, but you know, so I tell a story now that I'm out in public, and I gave tours at Fellowship Friday, and I tell everybody, you know, everybody might look at me and they say, well, you lost your job, you lost your wife, you lost your house, you lost your truck, you let me, I might be a country song. So, I mean, but I know you've lost everything. I said, no, I found everything. I found it. I didn't lose a thing.
Daniel, that's amazing. What a great attitude. What a great outlook. And I think more than even those two things, what a great realization of what we have and the worth that we have when we find ourselves in God and we realize that we are His. That is everything.
It is. It's absolutely everything. It's, you know, now that, you know, I mean, I, being a thick-headed Irishman that I am, or of Irish descent, however you want to put it, I mean, I guess he needed to pound on my skull a little harder than the rest, because, I mean, it took a minute. It took 25 years. And the best thing I can describe it to people who haven't ever known an alcoholic or an addict is that it's somebody that's trapped inside. And they're desperately trying to get out. They're the same guy. They're the same person. They're the same man, woman, or child that you love. They're just stuck. And there's no way for us to truly explain that to people. And it's not like we really want to. It's not a want. And it's like, my ex-wife called me, "You're nothing but a liar." I said, but when I said those things, I wasn't lying. It just turned out that mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy. It's the best thing I can, it's pure insanity. It really is.
Mm. How long will you be at Teen Challenge?
So the program is 12 months.
Mm.
Yeah.
And how far in are you now?
4 months.
4 months in. Yeah. So you've got a good bit yet to go.
Oh yeah. I got my 8 months to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One third of the way through, and I'm talking today to Daniel O'Leary, and he is a student, as you've just heard his story, amazing story. Daniel O'Leary at the Teen Challenge in Sanford. We're going to be back with him for one more segment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. In the studio today with Daniel O'Leary, and what a joy it has been for me to get to talk to a guy that is 4 months into a 12-month program as a student. How old did you say you were? 42?
I'm 44.
44. 44 years old. He looks 30, but that's okay. It's not fair, but we'll leave that one alone. He's 44 years old and unashamedly checks himself into a Teen Challenge because he's dealing with an addiction that had just about wrecked his life in some ways.
It wrecked it.
Pretty much came close to ending
very
his
much
life.
So.
And yet the Lord spoke to him in a way that was compelling, in a way that was so clear that nothing would have stopped him from following the steps that the Lord told you that you were going to do. You were going to check into Teen Challenge.
Yeah. And again, I sat inside of a jail cell and I thought for sure that's it. My life is now completely over, and it doesn't matter, you know, what kind of talent I had or what, anything like that. That's a wrap. So, suicide was not a thought. It was like, I'd already been thinking about that. I just think, I'm going to go ahead and get out and, you know, I'll go and, you know, everybody will be better off without me here. And in that jail cell, I mean, it sounds cliche. Or it sounds like, I don't know, you know what, but God just sat there and says, you know, I was sitting there praying and over again. And he just said, "You already know what to do and everything's going to be fine." And I knew that I had to come to Teen Challenge, which is just the weirdest thing when you're 44 years old and you got to go to something called Teen Challenge. So I was like, okay. And then, but from the moment that I heard that, not like something that, you know, bellowed from the sky or, you know, nothing like Moses looking at the burning bush or anything of that nature, just something that inside my head and knew it wasn't me. And he just said, "You're going to Teen Challenge and everything will be fine."
Mm.
And everything. And then from that moment, I was like, it didn't matter that I lost everything that the world says you're supposed to have. And none of that really mattered. I just knew that I had to come here and that everything would be okay.
Now, from our talks already, I've been able to tell that your ascertainment of the first 4 months would be that this has been everything that you would have hoped for the program to be.
Well, the program is the program. So Teen Challenge is, it is a safe place. So it takes you out of the world to where many of us are a danger to ourselves mostly and to others in one way or another. But it puts you into a safe place. It gets you, you know, you're fed, you're got a roof over your head, you got clothes on your back. It gives you a routine. It gives you structure. It gives you classes. It gives you education. The program is between you and God. And they're very clear about that. There's nobody at Teen Challenge that's going to be able to fix you. They take it. It's like, you got to take it before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take that to heart, then you're going to get somewhere.
I think that's what separates this out.
It is.
That one right there, because of the fact that you go to 12-step programs, and if it's a 12-step program that is not based upon the Bible, it's not based upon the power of God, it's only based on 12 steps of you working harder and you trying more and all of the things that are basically coming out of your own effort, and you get the end of step 12 and you're not much different than you were at the beginning of it.
So I've been a member of those 12-step programs before, and they're loosely based biblically. However, they don't require a complete surrender to God. It's a little weird. It's a little convoluted, if you will. And they work for some people, I guess. They don't have a great success rate, truthfully. But here it's just about, it really is your relationship with the Lord. You know, we don't go through 12 steps and we barely speak about addiction. Barely. I mean, it's not even really brought up all that much.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody might pray in the morning that thank God we don't have to get up and chase drugs, or thank God I'm not drunk today, or something like that. But it's not part of the curriculum. Our education is biblically based, and you know, you go through and talk about stuff that's in the Bible, you know, and that's it. It has nothing to do with, I hate to say it like this, but it has nothing to do with addiction. Has all to do with your faith in God.
I love it because it's just exactly what I heard at a lunch today with House of Hope in Orlando,
which is
a program for throwaway kids and runaway kids. And they made a statement today that is so much in line with what you're talking about. They said that we're not here to adjust or to work on their behaviors or to change their behaviors, although, you know, they don't want them to do those things. They don't want them behaving, their kids there to behave badly. But they're there to allow them to have a heart change.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're, and they made this statement, if their heart changes, their behaviors will follow.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you're talking about.
That's the only thing that's really required is that you need to have a want for a life transformation. That's it. I mean, you really have to get down and think about that. Do you want to continue to live your life as an alcoholic or as an addict? Do you want to continue to live your life in that pure, I mean, it's hell for just to be put it bluntly, or do you want to change?
Mm-hmm.
And I can say now that, I mean, the other programs will always tell you that, you know, oh, you'll be an alcoholic the rest of your life. You'll be an addict for the rest of your life. Well, I'm not an alcoholic because I don't drink, and I'm not an addict because I don't do drugs. So I'm not addicted to anything because mm-hmm. I don't do them.
Well, if
and
you
I'm
don't
freed
have a,
by God.
Exactly. That's exactly what I started to say. If you don't have a concept or a belief to go with that concept, that a believer can come to a point of being different. Really, that's truly definitely. Being different,
yeah.
Then
Romans 12:2, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, it's like something that stuck with me. It's like, and I memorized that verse before I went to Teen Challenge, and it's mm-hmm. just stuck with me every single day. Do not conform to this, because the world tells you all the different things.
Well, one of the verses that I love and I think about really quite regularly in my life, Isaiah 43:18-19, where it says, remember not the former things, nor consider things of old, for behold, I do a new thing in you.
Yeah.
It shall spring forth, shall you not perceive it? I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the wasteland.
Yeah.
And that's what God's doing in you.
And I'm right now, the only thing that I am so blessed that I'm sitting here with you. I'm sitting, you know, on a radio station, and I'm just talking about, maybe somebody out there will hear some of the things that I've said, and maybe they'll be like, you know what, maybe today's the day I'll change. And maybe somebody's life will be trained. Maybe somebody's life will be saved, because in doing what we do, we see men come and we see men go, and we know men don't make it. So it's not trivial stuff. It's not only, you know, we're trying to save their lives and then trying to save their souls. I mean, this is as real as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
So if that takes me doing this, and I'm so blessed to do it, whatever it takes.
I'm Really glad you're here, Daniel. We've got a few moments left with Daniel O'Leary, who is a student at Teen Challenge up in the Sanford area in Central Florida. And they have a bunch of people there, the youngest, he said, of which is 20. So I'm just so thankful that there is such a program for somebody that has your life experience that offers a program that is not only open to you, but is effective for you.
Yeah. And it's effective for a lot of people. So when, again, we don't, there's no age or it's just adult men. And, you know, just come in, if you have an issue, we want to help. Mm. And we try to support ourselves, and we have to rely on people as well, but we operate several different micro enterprises throughout the entire, the gamut, from a thrift store to a car wash and detail shop to pressure washing, to a Simply Clean disinfectant service, to a wood shop, which actually my compatriot Kurt is in charge of. So we do all these things to try to support ourselves, but we still need it, because all of this is at little to no cost to anybody who comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to all different kinds of rehabs and stuff like that, but they're not preaching God, and they're you know, 20 some odd $1,000 for a month or what. I've heard all kind mm-hmm. of craziness, but here. Yeah, but we all have to work. You know, we have to work and try to pay the bills. But, you know, that's what we're out here doing. You know,
well, it is one of the most effective programs and has been for decades. And mm-hmm. that says a lot. It says a lot about what it started off being. But even more importantly, I believe, is the fact that Teen Challenge has been able to sustain that kind of success for years. Mm-hmm. What year did you say it was founded?
1958.
58. So think about David Wilkerson's group, his vision for this organization, and it has led all the way now into the 21st century and the year 2021 going strong. I think that's awesome. You had mentioned that this Christian Chamber was involved,
yep.
and that there was an event called Fellowship Friday. Tell us about that.
So yeah, we were... When they put me in this position to reach out to communities and start to do this kind of thing, I started thinking about chambers of commerce, and I ran across a card in my desk that somebody had already contacted the Christian Chamber of Central Florida. So in my experience, chambers of commerce are an incredibly effective way to do networking and build businesses. And in a way, that's kind of what we're doing. So I called Crystal Parker, who's the president mm-hmm. of the Christian Chamber, and I talked to her for a minute. And I got Jeremy, our director, to rejoin because our membership had lapsed. And once that happened, she goes, well, you can now host a Fellowship Friday. I said, okay, well, what's a Fellowship Friday? She goes, well, we're going to have everybody come to your place, and then you can do short presentations and this, that, and the other. So I said, okay. So using my background, I was like, well, how does this get promoted? She's like, well, I mean, I'll promote the event, but she's incredibly busy. You know, it'd be online. I'm like, yeah, it's online. So I said, well, I'm just going to call everybody. So I did. I called the entire Christian Chamber of Commerce and personally invited everybody to come down.
And that was no small
order. No, it was, I mean, I was making phone calls. I wasn't digging ditches. So, I mean, it's like, you know, but I did. I called everybody and I talked to so many wonderful people. And
over
I got
200 people.
257. But who's counting? But, so we got a huge turnout, and we have a beautiful campus, in Sanford Avenue or Sanford. And we had about 40 people show up in person. I don't know how many more. It was a hybrid event. We had Matt Morgan, the mayor of Longwood. He came, and he's an advocate for the cause. He was our speaker. We had two ladies that come out. They came out of nowhere to this event who had unfortunately lost their sons to addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So this event, this Fellowship Friday, turned into this absolutely powerful movement for God. It was incredible. It was absolutely incredible, and I was just blessed to be a small part of it.
Well, even though I was not able to attend
next time.
Yes, next time. I tell you what, I was not only moved by your call, because I'm one of those people you called, and I was not only moved by it, but I'm so grateful that it culminated into your being here with us today.
I appreciate it.
And what can we pray for you?
I just
about
for just to continue for a little bit of clarity. Not sure what God has in store for me next, but I know it's 8 more months at Teen Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, we'll see how it goes. You know, I'm doing really well.
Let's do this. What are you most excited about in these next 8 months?
Deepening my relationship with the Lord. really getting down to somewhere. I mean, even just this short months, I've never really been this in touch. It's been incredible. I would like that to continue.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful goal. It's a wonderful prayer to have, to say, Lord, let your presence. I think of the psalmist that talked about here in your presence is fullness of joy. And in your right hand, there are pleasures. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a wonderful desire. And I also think of Psalm 27, I believe it is, when David said, there's one thing that I need, and that is to gaze upon your presence.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That is beautiful, to want that and to need that. And I'm praying for you, Daniel. I will be, and I tell you, Cindy and I will be lifting you up in prayer.
Well, thank you.
Because this is excited. I feel very much motivated to learn more about all the things, because this is, since I've moved back to Orlando, this is my first opportunity here on The Shepherd to have someone from Teen Challenge to be here. And so I've been excited about this, and
awesome.
I'm looking forward to...
Well, you're welcome to the campus anytime.
Yeah, I've got to come up there and see what's going on. And give us the website and how people can find out more.
Well, it's just Teen Challenge, USA, and then just Teen Challenge, Google it, pops right up. For us, we're in South on 3706 South Sanford Avenue in Sanford, Florida. Phone number is 407-330-9600.
Call us. That's great. And you've probably said that phone number a few times in those
250. I could give you my cell phone number, too. And listen, anybody out there that needs any of our services, we need you guys to partake of all of our micro enterprises. Give us a call. We need everything that you can. But most importantly, anybody who's out there hurting, anybody who's out there suffering from addiction, if you know somebody, we want to be the vessel that God uses to offer some hope.
If there are businesses that would like to donate, friends, I'd just love to say, give this organization a call. It's one of the longest. It's one of the oldest. It's one of the most effective ministries to help people out of addictions that I've ever heard of. And I'm grateful for Teen Challenge. I'm grateful for the work they do for the Lord. And Daniel O'Leary, I'm grateful for you.
I appreciate it, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks for coming by today.
God bless you.
And I hope you've enjoyed this today, friends. You'll hear more about this in the days to come, I am sure. Until the next time, this is Mike, and thank you for being with me on Afternoons with Mike on the Shepherd Radio Network.